This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
A second grader who pointed a pencil and made shouting noises in a Suffolk, Virginia elementary school is the latest to be suspended in zero-tolerance gun incidents. Although the teacher wrote on the suspension notice, "I told him to stop, and he did," she nevertheless reported the incident to the next level, and the principal suspended the 7-year-old and his fellow pencil-wielding classmate for 2 days. A school representative said, "A pencil is a weapon when it is pointed at someone in a threatening way and gun noises are made." Despite community outrage at this silly reaction by the school, school administrators continue to defend their actions. The father of the suspended boy is a Marine Corps veteran. He said his son is a good student and never had any discipline problems. His son told him, "Well, I was pretending to be a Marine and the other guy was being a bad guy." In other zero-tolerance nonsense, some educators around the country are being scared by plastic Hello Kitty bubble guns, Pop-Tarts bitten into something like the shape of a gun, and toy World War II soldiers on top of cupcakes. Some parents say that zero-tolerance policies enforced without common sense make a mockery of the real issue of school safety. Stripping little boys of their masculine tendency to engage in military play is harmful, not helpful. When school administrators take zero tolerance to these extremes, they become fear-mongering strangers to common sense, rather than responsible adults looking out for the safety of all students. And it's not just boys who are the victims of zero-tolerance silliness. In a California school, an 11-year-old girl was suspended for doing cartwheels and handstands during lunchtime.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you have a product or service that you'd like to advertise on the Republic Broadcasting Network? Do you want to support one of the original truth radio networks in existence while getting your company heard across the globe? Right now, RBN is having a holiday special on all of our advertising packages and providing free commercial production to get you started. Call 800-724-2719, extension 111 today. That's 800-724-2719, extension 111, or email powers@republicbroadcasting.org.
Attention veterans, fellow preppers, and outdoorsmen. You have to check out AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're veteran-owned and operated, offering GMO-free food, camping supplies, and much more. The best customer service and fast shipping makes AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com second to none. Unique products and super low prices make AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com the best choice for emergency preparedness. No automated computers, just good people trying to help you prepare. Finally, brother veterans, if you need help with food or blankets, call 818-720-0759.
Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Professor Ricardo Duchesne. He is the author of The Uniqueness of Western Civilization. He teaches at the Department of Social Science at the University of New Brunswick in St. John in Canada. He has also authored about 36 articles and several encyclopedia entries. And we were talking before the break about education and about how it was just very, very difficult to say anything or to speak out or have pride in your race if you're white. And do you think too that all of this is done, all of this immigration and this homogenization is done in order to equalize everyone so that it does not allow anyone to get ahead of anyone else?
Yeah, that's part of it. As I was saying before, the Europeans in the world were ahead of everyone, and they were also inside the United States. So to equalize things, they want to make everyone mixed race. And in that way, you cannot identify one group as being ahead. But this is primarily directed against whites. It's not directed against other ethnic groups. They can remain homogeneous within their own neighborhoods or wherever they are. They can form their own societies in the interest of blacks, in the interest of mestizos, in the interest of Jews, but you cannot have whites forming their own societies and openly declaring we are a society that will look out for the interest of Europeans. In the United States, they use the term whites more often than they do in Canada. We tend to say Europeans and in Europe, too, but we know what we mean when we say European, ethnically speaking. So in a sense, what I would like to see is, at least in the case of Canada, because in Canada we have official multiculturalism, is that let's make the multicultural system more democratic in the sense that multiculturalism encourages all ethnic minorities to advance their own concerns, their own ways. So why don't we Europeans advance our own concerns as Europeans and protect ourselves? And so we don't have to say let's reject multiculturalism, because there is this argument that says, oh no, well, immigrants just have to assimilate and multiculturalism doesn't allow them from assimilating. But I think assimilating will mean the end of European culture, because if you have open borders and masses of Asians and Indians and Filipinos keep coming in here into Canada and they assimilate into a situation in which the Europeans are being reduced in numbers and mixing with other races, then eventually it's just an assimilation into a thoroughly mongrelized, mixed-up, confused kind of culture.
Sure.
And the only thing that culture will have is that they say, oh, well, we are democratic, or we are liberal, we have freedom of the press. But to me, that's not good enough. So I think Europeans have to finally realize, well, just as other groups are proud and advance their own ethnic interests, we should do the same. We have to start organizing and thinking in those terms, like the Republican Party will not do it. They're afraid to do it, but are actually doing the opposite. But hopefully there will be political movement in that direction.
Sure. Well, when my ancestors came here, they did assimilate, but they were, you know, the Irish were marrying the English and that kind of thing. So we're not talking about different, we're talking still within the European ethnicities. But when you have people from other places, from Eastern Europe and other areas, and early on, they started to impose a tax on immigrants, and they disqualified people. You know, they checked people for contagious diseases. They didn't let felons into the country. They actually had standards of who they were going to let in. And then all of a sudden, you had them allowing people from, well, the thugs from other countries come in.
Yes.
And I think that they did that in order to, to increase the crime rate so that perhaps the politicians could increase their control over the residents.
Yes, I don't know, I have never thought of it in that way or in that example of the crime rate, but I do know that academics, sometimes when I'm able to present my views to them, they generally don't want to hear them and walk away. But when I say something like, for example, why would Vancouver is a city in the west side of Canada, just above, California is. If you keep going north, you get into Seattle. If you keep going north, you get to Vancouver. So it's right there. And that city used to be overwhelmingly British as late as the 1970s. And then suddenly they decided to open its borders to Asian, particularly Chinese. So now the Chinese have taken over entire regions of the city. When you walk into elementary schools, you only see children with black hair. You ask yourself, why would the people from Vancouver do this? And when I tell some leftists about that, they say, it is just a challenge, and we're going to have to address this challenge, and we just need to expand the government more, introduce more programs and more services. So they see it as a way of expanding the government to address all this multicultural integration. And
wow.
So, there is a sense in which the expansion of the government and multiculturalism and immigration go hand in hand.
Sure. And in this country, we had what was called the Emergency Quota Act, which restricted the immigrants coming to the number of that nationality who already lived in the country, say, in 1910. They would limit it to just 2%. But we have no limitations at all now. There are just none.
No.
And they allow people to come in. They don't deport them when they do find that they're here illegally. And, of course, our government has called them, undocumented workers, which is just a ridiculous term, which implies that, yes, you can come over here and work. You're not going to be, you're not going to be here legally, but we're going to allow you to take a job here. And then, of course, they always send their money back home. So, They are not contributing to the country in any way.
No, and I mean the 1965 Immigration Act in the United States has been a disaster. In Canada, we didn't have an act like that. It was a series of changes in the immigration policy in the 1950s. Into the early 1960s, we had what is now called a White Canada immigration policy. And when you read, I was just the other day reading what the Prime Minister Mackenzie, who is known as a strong Prime Minister in Canada during the interwar into the Second World War period and the early 50s, as I recall, and he very clearly stated and defended that White Immigration Act, saying that, well, we don't want to change the character of Canada. Canada was founded primarily by the British, and then the French came into Quebec. And then during the 19th century, some Europeans came from Germany, from Russia, and some other European countries. And that essentially is the character of Canada, he said. And we don't want to bring people from Asia, because if we do, that's going to alter this character.
Oh,
but it was
certainly
very clear.
Certainly. All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we will take your calls at 800-313-9443. And we do have some callers lining up. Let's take Kent in West Virginia. Kent, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Deanna. Just one comment. You guys was mentioning about the number of Chinese in Vancouver. In that particular case, I remember I think the situation there was that when England, the Brits, gave Hong Kong back to the Chinese, you obviously suddenly had all these very wealthy Chinese who didn't want to live under the communist dual state, one solution, or whatever the hell it was. But anyway, Vancouver was sort of the go-to destination point for those Chinese. And I think it was the real estate people that really welcomed the Chinese, because all of a sudden the prices they were getting for their real estate just went through the roof. So I think that's the case in Vancouver. The changeover in Hong Kong, all the Chinese fled Hong Kong, and the, of course, a lot of them went to London too, but Vancouver was a very prime destination for those people.
What are your thoughts on that, Professor?
Yes, I think that was a factor. That was in the 1980s, right? But it's worth keeping in mind that the mass immigration of Chinese into Vancouver kept on to the 90s and even accelerated right into the 21st century, and it is still going on. And so it is not just the Hong Kong issue. It is really part of a bigger effort on the part of Canada to change its ethnic character in the name of diversity and multiculturalism. Now, the fact that Vancouver is on the Pacific side, and it connects it to Asia, and so people from Asia arrive there, and that's a factor, the location, in the fact that the Chinese are going there, whereas if you go to another city in Canada, it may be people from Pakistan or the Philippines or something like that. But overall, you see many Chinese in Toronto as well. If you go to the biggest universities in Canada, not just UBC, which is in Vancouver, but also U of T, and I even think McGill, but to a lesser extent, but U of T for sure, you'll see that the Asian population is overwhelmingly, it's an overwhelming presence. It's everywhere. And, you know, I would say that it is part of a bigger multicultural pro-diversity movement.
You're right there, because I'm a sure every listener, but everything's going off shortly. But Canada did have about 5 or 6 years ago, their international broadcast changed from mostly Canadian content, and it transformed into a program what they called The Link. And it featured a lot of primarily Indian, you know, topics and subjects. But you're exactly right there, and it's still on the internet. If you go to CBC and look for The Link, you'll probably find it. And it was creating a link for, you know, the people in those countries to a welcome, you know, telling those people in those foreign countries come to Canada. In other words,
yeah, I mean, in Canada there's barely a dissenting voice when it comes to immigration. The conservatives are just as much pro-immigration. During the conservative government of the last years and before that as well under Mulroney, immigration just went right up, and they have more people have come into Canada under conservative governments than under liberals. So all the parties are for immigration. And it is amazing, because the newspapers, the parties, the radios, in the United States at least you have these dissenting voices within the Republican Party and outside it, but not in Canada. In Canada, if you say the things I'm saying, well, you're ostracized, and it's just not acceptable.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Yeah, we're just kind of like a bunch of pawns in the elite's global chess game, really, because people migrate for diverse reasons. I mean, there's natural disasters, warfare, famine, economics, religious, ethnic persecution. So when a country opens its doors to people, they're going to come. And then with the situation with the Chinese in Vancouver, when they were building the railroad about 1850s, they brought in a lot of Chinese to work to build the railroad.
Yeah.
And so these people stayed here. And
yes, same in Vancouver and British Columbia. The Chinese population there suddenly grew to up to 10% in Vancouver in the early 20th century because of building the railroad. But then it went down to about 3% all the way until 1970s.
And I'm not sure that a lot of the people really want to leave their country. The economic situation in some countries just make it, well, they hear about what they're going to get in some other country. And, of course, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And so they leave, and then they end up, it's not so bright.
The speaker, the person who asked the question before had a point that in the case of Vancouver, we see a lot of well-off Chinese people arriving there involved in the real estate market. In Vancouver, you could get a reasonable home for a reasonable price not long ago. But as the Chinese came in and started buying up and buying up more houses, now it's just beyond the middle class to have a home. And these people are not really attached to Canada in any way. I mean, some are, but quite a few of them are not. They just go back and forth because you can have double citizenship in Canada. So they just come in here, bring their elderly parents to take health care, free health care.
Sure.
And they have their children into the education system, which is better. But they go to China half the year or so, and they live there and do businesses there. And multiculturalism tells them that Canadians don't really have much pride in themselves. You Chinese are better and should be proud of yourself. So they say, okay, fine, that's the way it is.
Oh, gosh. And like you said, they do come here for services. I know that California is just all but bankrupt from all of the services that they dish out or allow the immigrants to have, and that's certainly not fair because they don't pay, they don't contribute, and the taxpayers are picking up the bill for them to have health care and all the other services that they want. And of course, in the school systems in California, Southern California, you have to have multi-language classrooms, and that's hardly fair.
Right, yeah. And I have an article on Vancouver that is called Multicultural Madness, and it's easy to Google, so if people want to hear about that.
Okay. All right, what is it called again?
Multicultural Madness.
Okay, yes, definitely. That certainly fits the bill. And, of course, getting back to the immigration in this country, there's the Statue of Liberty. There's a poem on the Statue of Liberty, and it's a welcome to immigrants. And a portion of that poem states, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Well, those are not the kind of people that came here early. They were not the poor. They weren't the refuse. They weren't homeless. They came here to contribute, not to receive.
Yeah. But it's important to remember that even if they contribute in large numbers, people from a very different culture do pose a threat to European identity.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. All righty. We are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Important is the air you breathe. Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Professor Ricardo Duchesne, and I'm just looking at your article. Interestingly enough, it says that that people refer to this to Canada now as an immigrant society, when initially the British and the French were the settlers, and now all of a sudden you have a different kind of a term. And it is the same kind of a situation here in this country, where we were told or somebody referred to us or to the immigrants as a melting pot, and that everybody was welcome, everybody come on in. It doesn't matter whether you're the dregs of society or whether you actually want to come in and contribute. And so that's interesting that we both have the same situation. I do have a question via email. Byzantium was a multicultural nation that had no racial conflict for almost 1,000 years. What made that possible, and why can't that be implemented in the U.S.?
Which country was that?
Byzantium.
Byzantium. So the writer says that Byzantium was a multicultural nation and that it worked?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, Byzantium is, some people say, sort of one of those civilizations that stands between the East and the West at the crossroads there. I don't know the exact ethnic composition of Byzantium. I mean, it is a civilization that lasts for over 1,000 years. But I wouldn't call Byzantium multicultural in the sense that they don't have multiculturalism as an official policy. In a number of other articles I have written, these are short articles for Freedom Press Canada, that web thing went out not long ago, but you can still find my articles, I think, in their website there, Freedom Press Canada. And one of the arguments I make is that one has to make a distinction between multiculturalism as a policy and multicultural or the multicultural reality that you have a nation in which there are more than one culture, two or three cultures coexisting. And the difference is that multiculturalism says that you should promote diversity and that one of the best ways to promote diversity is by immigration. Byzantium didn't have an open borders immigration policy in which they were actively encouraging people from other cultures to come in, and the government would celebrate their traditions and their ways. But rather, Byzantium was in many ways quite conservative, very conservative actually. They were Orthodox Christian. They preserved the Roman classical heritage in their schools. That was what they read, the great authors from ancient Greece and some of the Roman authors, and they preserved that for thousands of years. So the idea that because you have in one country two, three cultures existing there, that it follows that they're following multiculturalism is just not true. Multiculturalism is a very recent creation, and it was imposed from above without any democratic consent, and it was imposed only in white countries, only in European countries. It has no existence anywhere else outside Europe, North America, and Australia.
Okay. Now, do you think also that the exploration that the Brits were doing early on, their travels, contributed to the multicultural situation?
You mean because the Europeans expanded around the world? And
right. That they They developed trade with other countries, and then maybe those countries thought, I think I'm going to go and live in Britain or something. What do you
think? I mean, it has been argued that European people themselves developed these ideas of equality, of universalism. Universalism meaning that we can come up with a series of values, ideas that hold true for all of humanity. So the neoconservatives in the United States, they think like that. They think it's all about assimilation, that the United States represents a universal civilization to which everyone can assimilate, that everyone wants to be democratic and free. And my view is that these values should be seen as uniquely Western, uniquely European. They presuppose European ethnicity and history. Not everyone wants to endorse those values. You can have some immigrants here and there that will gradually assimilate to them, but you cannot do that under mass immigration. Eventually, they will undermine those values because the rise of representative institutions only happened in Europe, and then it happened in those countries where Europeans spread to, like the United States and Canada. But they're not ways of behaving politically that you find across the world, and they're not ways of behaving that everyone wants to endorse. So all this illusion about an Arab Spring, we know now that it didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. The idea that you're going to invade Iraq and make it democratic, that didn't work. So universalism is an idea that came out of Europeans, and it is a damaging idea because we don't have universal values for humanity. And you mentioned the issue of exploration, or just moving around the world. So it is true, as Europeans move around the world, they kind of started thinking that people should just move around, mix with each other, that this is good for everyone. But I would distinguish that. I mean, the Japanese move around the world a lot nowadays, traveling, they go to other universities, but they're very homogeneous and they don't have open borders, even though they have a below replacement fertility rate. So, and that's true for the South Koreans as well and other nations in Asia that have below replacement fertility rates, and they're not opening their borders, and they have a lot of interaction, economic, cultural interactions with the rest of the world, but they don't say, oh, we need to diversify ourselves and so on.
Sure. All righty. Let's take some more callers. Let's take Rob in New Jersey. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Actually, this is Paul, but it's okay.
Oh, hey. They wrote down Rob. Okay, Paul.
When they talk about Japan, just to let you know, I remember reading when Paul Wolfowitz was heading up the IMF, I think it was him or it might have been another contributor over at the Wall Street Journal, always suggesting more immigration into Japan.
Yes.
And I would assume with his, you know, the neocon natural hostility to homogenous nations, as you alluded to a second ago, that's the way to get their foot in the door. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's really hard if they have a homogenous nation for a foreign racial group to usurp and take over that country. So
yes,
they can use the immigrants as a means to usurp. And actually, that's what's happened through the immigration process in the Western world. And according to Kevin McDonald, that's been pushed largely to a Jewish power and the rise of Jewish
right.
power. You know, Seller and Hart and Javits were the three leading Jewish congressmen of the day who pushed for the Immigration Act of 63. And so they could do that, so then Jews can hide amongst the other minorities and play division politics using their press power to rise to power and divide up the majority Christian white nations that they seem to be hostile towards. You know,
yeah, I mean... Yeah, I mean, another point that I would add to that is that on this issue, there is really no difference between the existing right-wing or conservative side of politics and the left. They are very much in agreement on the issue of immigration and disintegration of European or white identity. And one reason for that is that nations that have a strong sense of history and identity cannot be easily manipulated by these big corporations and by the leftist academics and the media. So they don't like them because we know, as I just said, and history shows that when you are rooted in a place, you are attached to that place. So you're not going to welcome big corporations just pushing your culture around and creating this notion that it's all about commerce and buying and selling and so on. And yes, I mean, in the case you mentioned the Wolfowitz, in the case of Japan, it is amazing that there were some people when Japan wasn't doing so well in the early, through the 90s actually, they were saying, well, your problem is an aging population, and you have a low fertility rate, we Americans are very dynamic because of our immigration, and you should do the same. But that is not true. I mean, the United States is heading downhill, and it's going to collapse, the whole system in the United States, whereas Japan is going to be standing there.
Sure. All righty. Thank you very much, Paul. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Professor Ricardo Duchesne. He is the author of The Uniqueness of Western Civilization. And we have Mike on the phone. Mike is from Kentucky. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
I haven't got a chance to listen to your whole show, but a couple of things you touched on, I wanted to kind of add to, and then I was wondering if he had studied the statistics from the, like the U.S. Immigration Bureau and the Census Bureau, they have tracked, or you can, I guess, take their numbers and draw some charts. I don't necessarily want to mention what organization does it, but there's a couple of videos that use the graphs and charts from their statistics, and they show, kind of shockingly, that no matter what ethnicity you're talking about, by the sometime shortly after the year 2030, there's going to be more people in the United States that are not born here, but they will be, born somewhere else, and they come to America under the immigration policies, which basically right now there's about four times as many people coming into the country than those that leave. So you just do the math on that alone, not counting illegals, not even getting into the, you know, people coming in, streaming in from Mexico or even Canada. There's organizations that have some videos out about that, comparing the numbers using, you know, marbles or gumballs, I think. Have you looked at that?
Yeah, I mean, not long ago when Pat Buchanan came out with his last book, America, no, I forget the exact title now of his book, but he had a chapter in which he brought out some numbers to the effect that Americans will cease to be a majority. I don't think it was in the 2030s. I recall it's 2040s, but either way, it is going to be very soon. And I agree. Yeah, I mean, I agree that even if the doors were to be closed right now completely, there is already a demographic dynamic inside the United States, inside England, inside France, and other countries such that even if the whites, say, in Sweden are not going to become a minority in the way that the United States will sometime soon, nevertheless, you will have very strong, sizable minorities pressing for their interests, and with the left in control of education, they'll be promoting other cultures and undermining Swedish identity or English identity, and this is happening already. The fact is that in many ways, Americans and British people have a large segment of the population have lost their sense of identity, and I mean both cultural and ethnic identity, because
it does those countries no service to take their best and brightest and most energetic people and take them out of their culture where they could stay and solve problems. It's actually not a charitable thing to do, because the people that come to this country and a lot of the developed world are often the best and brightest of that culture, and you're siphoning them out. So you're not actually helping the third world countries or the, you know, or even what I would call the fourth world countries at this point.
Yeah.
You're
right.
There's billions of people that live on less than $2 a day.
Yeah. The leftist academics are hypocrites because they like to act like they're so moral in the fact that they're concerned with immigrants and helping people, but they should know well that a lot of the people that are leaving from Africa, Latin America, and so on are the better educated ones, and we're basically bringing about a brain drain. And, so I agree with that point.
Well, the other thing I want to mention, too, is that a lot of people are not here by choice. And now, the Statue of Liberty, I think, was for the 100th anniversary. 1876 was when it was dedicated and given to the Americans and put up, by the French. Now, you can get into all kinds of conspiracy theories about what they were up to. But at that time, people had their great-grandparents and stuff that were here, and they remember that, and the history tells us, that the European countries actually were actively trying to get rid of their raffle. And the only difference between Americans and Australians is whether they were thrown out at Savannah or thrown out in Sydney. There was a lot of people, there was a time in a lot of European countries where people were, if you were in the custody of a ship's captain, they could kidnap people off the streets in European cities, and you were in the custody of a ship's captain, you were basically what they call Shanghai'd, and you were the property of that ship, and they would throw you out at Savannah. You were either an indentured servitude or they just got rid of you. And so there's a lot of people here, and it gets under my skin when people start trying to blame me as a white American for the things that were done to the Indians or whatever. And there's a lot of people that were not here by choice. They were thrown out in America or Australia.
But even if you were here by choice, the thing is that I cannot think of any piece of land on this earth that is currently occupied by a particular ethnic and culture or people, and they did not fight for it. They did not somehow found themselves in conflict with other people. That has been a fact, yes. So it is not
I've made that point to many people, too. Name a country where the indigenous people were not supplanted by the innovators to establish that country.
I mean, yeah, the thing is that Europeans developed this idea of being, you know, not as cruel to other people, finding ways to accommodate the natives, and out of that goodness developed a further idea, which is that, well, Europeans are just so bad and you should just be replaced eventually by other people. And they have to reassert themselves, like every ethnic group does, and simply start having pride in the way they created the United States or Australia, because these are were now not so great, but they were great cultures, and they have every reason to have pride in that.
Last thing, are you Spanish? I'm trying to figure out your accent. You don't seem French. What's your accent from?
A Spanish accent.
But you're not like from Pyrenees.
Like racially, I'm mixed, but primarily white.
Pyrenees is what I was getting at.
My mother is from Britain. She was born in Britain. Then I have, from my father's side, some French. And some Spanish.
I see, I'm hearing the French and I'm hearing some of the Spanish, so I'm like, where is this guy from?
Yeah, no.
All right.
I'm a mixed person who says that you shouldn't be, everybody shouldn't be mixing.
Hey, you know, that's great. And we're getting into the territory of genetics, and I've seen some weird maps now where they're actually plotting certain indicator genes where they're actually trying to track certain tribes of humans and find out where they're at in Europe and America. And, you know, of course, you deal with a lot of the Jewish issues. And there's a jealousy among the tribes, and I think that is a thing that we're headed toward. And to me, it seems like they've targeted certain northern tribes of Israel, which may have migrated into the Scotch-Irish lands, the Danites, the northern tribes of Israel, are targeted by these Ashkenazi Jews to get rid of us. And one of the things that they are targeting is our ability to dream and interpret dreams. And calcification of the pineal gland is a big factor in that, I think. Now, I wasn't originally going to talk about that, but you kind of brought that out with your talk
so
about
your fault,
not,
right?
not mixing the races, and it certainly seems like there are certain groups of individuals that are more prone to be imaginative and inventive, and of course, in Star Trek, Scotty was the engineer because the Scotch-Irish are known for their engineering prowess. So they're targeting our imagination, almost like that book by Yevgeny Zamyatin. If you've ever read We.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you go.
Well, thank you so much, Mike.
All right.
All righty. All righty. We're just about out of time. It's been wonderful having you on the program today. And hopefully our listeners will purchase your book. It's called The Uniqueness of Western Civilization. Do you have some parting words?
Yes. Well, it was a great chance to talk to people. You're in Chicago, right? So this is your audience.
Yes.
All right. So thanks to everyone and for this opportunity and to you.
Well,
it
thank
was
you.
Very good.
Thank you so
much.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.